Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Hurtling down rocky slopes, dodging boulders, mountain biking will get your heart racing, especially if you're blind. Yes, members of World Access for the Blind have mastered mountain biking, skateboarding, skiing, soccer, and more. The California organization says they're helping build autonomy through flash sonar, a method of perception developed by blind activist Daniel Kish that allows a blind person to navigate by making clicking sounds and then hearing them echo back, the way bats use echolocation. Not everyone in the blind community is happy, but the approach has a lot of followers, including Brian Bushway, a former student of Kish, who now trains others in flash sonar in places like Armenia, India, and Scotland. We'll link you to a video at hereandnow.org of Brian teaching flash sonar as he joins us from NPR West in Culver City with more. Brian, welcome.
Thanks for having me today.
Okay, so I've got Men's Journal magazine here, and there's a picture of Daniel Kish. And look, there he is riding his bike down a busy street. Do you ride a bike as well?
Yes, I definitely do.
Okay, so how does this work? Explain for us. How does making mouth clicks let you know that, as I see in this picture, there's a big darn truck right next to Daniel as he's riding?
So when a blind person who knows echolocation is riding a bike, they're first navigating the bike like any person would normally ride a bike, but instead, for preview of the environment, we use a tongue click. And that tongue click is essentially human sonar. That sound goes out into the environment, bounces off whatever the obstacles or trees or curbs, the sound bounces off and comes back to the human ear, and the brain interprets the sound. And this is a natural perceptual human ability. Every human has this.
It's just the heart stopping, though. When I think of, you know, trying to ride a bike down a busy street and relying on clicks, I mean, how often do you have to do it? And can you give us an example? I know you've brought in some props. How that echo sounds when it comes back?
Well, different environments, like riding a bike, you're going to want more information. So you're going to be clicking more because you're moving at, you know, greater speeds. And depending upon sort of the traffic noise, you're going to want a little bit louder. Indoor environments, you want a very nice, subtle click.
So subtle that, you know...
Most people have no idea that a blind person who uses echolocation is actually clicking.
But what's coming back? You know, what information are you getting back?
You're getting lots of information. So, for example, this just shows how unaware most people are of the information that their other senses can actually provide. So today I brought a top of a Tupperware lid, a little plastic lid that I took from my kitchen. But for demonstration purposes, I can make a shh sound. And you'll hear the sound change as this object comes in front of me.
Okay.
Shh.
Yep. Yep, absolutely hear it.
So that's an object coming in front, and the sound is changing, and the brain is perfectly capable of really processing this information. And then the even cool thing is you can tell distance. So if I turn a little bit sideways, and I'm holding the plastic panel out in front of me, and I'm going to bring it in closer, and as I make that same shh noise, you're going to hear the sound sort of oscillate. And that oscillation sound is this plastic panel moving forward and backwards.
Okay.
Listen.
Yeah, I hear it. I hear it.
Yeah. So right there, in a matter of seconds, you know, you've never known echolocation before. We're just able to determine two very important rudimentary levels of echolocation.
Well, it's one thing to hear that. It's another thing to think of you know, spinning along on a bike and someone jumps out in front of you, you know, or a truck makes a left-hand turn without signaling and thinks that you can see.
So when we do go out and ride on, like, trails and the mountain bike groups, we usually try to identify ourselves to inform the rest of the public of what's going on. But also think about this. When I'm riding my bike and I'm riding with other friends, I have 360-degree awareness. A car can't really sneak up on me, where cars sneak up behind sighted people all the time because all their focus is just straight ahead.
Well, in fact, you say that as a child, you even felt that when you were, let's say, walking to classes, you could see columns that were holding up the ceiling, even though you knew you couldn't see them. You had some sense that you tapped into of the physical, you know, what was around you.
Yeah, I was maybe less than 6 months blind from the age of 14, and I just had learned to use the cane and was walking with the cane, and there were these columns holding up the ceiling, and I was told I have no light perception, but I could tell that these pillars were there. Then later, I met Daniel Kish a couple months later and explained to him this phenomenon that I was experiencing. And he was like, oh, Brian, you're hearing the echoes reflect off these objects. And then he taught me to use the tongue click, which is actually more like a flash on a camera. It really illuminates the environment and provides that much more detail.
And what are some of the things that you do? I mean, I'm reading in the Men's Journal about Daniel Kish walking in a restaurant and walking right up to the table that he wants to sit at, quietly clicking all the way. What are some of the other things that you do because you are using this sort of sonar?
Playing soccer, put a ball in a plastic grocery bag, therefore it can rustle and make noise. But then my general orientation, I can click and hear the buildings in the distance that may be 100 yards away, or maybe if it's an indoor soccer court, I can hear sort of the walls and the perimeters, and I can keep my orientation. So as I'm turning and spinning in space, I'm able to track where I am. The coolest part about echolocation is it just provides free independence. You know, I'm not really dependent upon waiting for other people to move me around. And that really sort of changes and gives me the ability to, in self-confidence, to do anything I kind of want to go out and do.
And what are some of the things, you know, skateboarding? Do you skateboard with a cane?
Yeah, skateboard with a cane and the use of echolocation, clicking the tongue. Cane's great for sort of hearing where the curb is. And I click the tongue and I'm scanning, turning my head, and I'm listening to the cars or the boundaries.
Oh, the cars. Are you? See, now my heart's in my throat, you know, hearing that you're skateboarding blind and there are cars nearby.
Well, first of all, it's really I'm not that blind because I have real awareness and real perception of what is around me more than people realize. And number two, if it was really crowded and there were lots of cars and there was a lot of road noise, I probably would opt out and take a safer, you know, route.
What do you say to critics of this? Obviously, it's been pure joy, it sounds like, for you and others who are doing this. But what do you say to, for instance, the National Federation of the Blind? This is the largest blind organization in the country. They don't endorse a flash sonar. And someone who spoke for the organization said that for most people, echolocation isn't worth the tremendous effort required to grasp it. And then there are other people who worry, you know, about some of the things I've expressed, the you know, it could be dangerous. You know, you've responded to that. But, you know, why hasn't this been embraced by these large organizations, do you think?
Well, number one, I don't think echolocation is dangerous at all. If anything, a person who uses echolocation is actually more safe and more well-equipped to deal with life. It's just another tool like a cane and the amount of practice that it takes. Most blind people do use passive echolocation. Just from the ambient noises in the room, they're kind of able to tell where subtle things are, which is great. But then there's a whole other, like, liberating level if you can use a subtle tongue click. There really isn't anywhere in the world that a blind person cannot get to.
That's Brian Bushway. He's a perceptual mobility coach for the group World Access for the Blind. As we said, they use something called flash sonar, sort of what bats use when they use echo technology to see their way around. Brian, thanks so much. Pretty incredible. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks.